you know, it's very disappointing when some event that you've looked forward to for a long time doesn't live up to your expectations. You know what I mean? Some event comes up, you're looking forward to it, you've got it all built up in your mind, and then the event comes and it doesn't meet your expectations, you're bummed out. I think it's important that we have realistic expectations in that case about things that are coming up. I think of some of the folks that I've read about over the last week. For the last month, there's been many people that are camping out on the front lawn of movie theaters, waiting to get a ticket for that premiere opening of Star Wars. Folks, that's pretty high expectations, camping out for a month to get a movie ticket. But that's where there are high expectations. We need to have realistic expectations. And folks, you need to understand that there are people, some people, that have unrealistic expectations when it comes to marriage. You may be here this morning and you may be a single person. You may be dating. You may be wanting to be married and you're looking for your spouse. And you may have unrealistic expectations about marriage. You might have the idea that once you get married, your whole life just becomes bliss. Everything just becomes beautiful. Listen, my marriage is one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. It's enriching, but it's not always just bliss. For some of you who are married, you have unrealistic expectations of what your spouse is supposed to be like. Or both spouses might have differing expectations about marriage. One pastor wrote, conflicting expectations are like a tight shoe. They begin with a pinch, but if left unattended, they soon become painfully tender to the slightest touch. God has expectations for marriage. Did you know that? God has expectations for the wife. God has expectations for the husband. And my prayer this morning is that our expectations in marriage would come in line with God's expectations for marriage. They're very clear. We've been talking a lot about the walk of the Christian. Folks, now we are getting very specific in this walk. Over the next few weeks, husbands, wives, parents, children, employers, employees, very specific walks. This morning, let's look at the marriage and God's expectations for a marriage. Verse 22, we read, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself to her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. You know, this passage is actually pretty simple. It's actually very clear. We have clearly laid out before us God's expectation for husbands and wives in marriage. It's right here. And we're just going to look at it this morning. Each one. What does God have as an expectation for you, wife? What does God have as an expectation for you, husband? Let's first consider God's expectations for the wife, for wives. And it's very clear here that the role that the wife is supposed to take in a marriage is that of a submissive role to her husband. God has called the wives to be in submission to their husband. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. And then in verse 33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Let's talk a little bit about what the Bible means by that word submission. It's very important. Submission in the Greek word, in the Greek, is a word hupotasso. Comes from two Greek words, hupo, which means under, and tasso, which means to arrange or to order. So submission in that sense, if you take those words together, means to arrange under, to subject oneself or order oneself under another person, to willingly, voluntarily take second place, to willingly, voluntarily allow someone else to have the leadership role. That's what we're speaking of. And you should know, the Bible teaches that all Christians are to practice submission. All Christians. Last week when we were going over the walk of wisdom, verse 21, we didn't touch on it very in much detail, but look at verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's what gets said first before the Bible then says, wives, be submissive to your husbands. All Christians are required to practice submission. All Christians are required to look out for the interests of others, to put others ahead of ourselves. That's very important. That's what all Christians are. And in that sense, husbands can be in submission to their wives in the fact that they consider the wives' needs higher. They look out for the needs of the wife. Parents, in that sense, can be in submission to their children. In submission, we're looking out for the best for our children, putting their needs and their lives ahead of our own. However, there are specific instances in Scripture where God clearly commands certain people to be in submission. All Christians are called by God to be in submission to governmental authorities, employees to employers, children to their parents. And in this case right here, wives to their husbands. Now, when God uses that specifically, it is my belief, and a belief of many of the folks that I consulted, God put that, established that wives should be submissive to their husbands for the sake of an authority structure, for the sake of order. It has nothing to do with capability. This is not God demeaning women in any sense of the word. And in fact, the Bible takes a rap for this. Many people accuse the God of the Bible as being sexist or demeaning women, placing women under as inferior to men. That is not true. Women are never called in Scripture to be submissive to all men. They're never told to be inferior. They're never presented as being inferior. Notice who the wife is to submit to. Verse 22, submit to your own husbands. Verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands. That submissive role is to take place from the wife to her own husband. Now, there's another situation in Scripture where women are told to be in submission to men, very clearly. And that has to do with church leadership. The Bible teaches that leaders for the church are to be male. And I would say I don't agree with female pastors or females in a place of leadership, according to the Bible, a place of leadership in which they have an authority over men. That's not the way God designed it. But again, ladies, that is for the sake of order, of having an authority structure in place. God has chosen and designed to do it that way. And keep in mind, ladies, the Bible says God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Because I want you to know there are women in this church that are very godly. They may be more capable. But God has established order, structure. It has nothing to do with capability. It has everything to do with order. You know, I worked at, was working for this one company, and I had some ladies that worked with me, and they were very aggressive ladies. They were in the workforce. They were really going for it. And they found out I was a pastor, and one of the very first things they asked me was, well, do you believe in female leadership in the church? And so I did. I took them to some verses in Scripture, and I said, no, I don't. And then immediately it was like, ugh. But then I just simply explained. See, women had never been heard. They had never heard that it's just for the sake of order. It has nothing to do with your qualifications, your ability, ladies. And when I explained that to them, it made sense to them. And it should make sense to us. God is wise. He's placed a structure. Wives are to be in submission. Because the Bible teaches that husbands and wives are equal. Absolutely. In fact, Peter tells husbands in 1 Peter 3:7, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. We're joint heirs, husbands and wives. And there's equality. And ladies, that's what God requires of you as wives, to willingly be in a submissive role to your husband. You know something though? That's hard for you. That's hard for wives. I think it's hard because some of us guys are so wishy-washy sometimes. But it's also hard for you because the Bible teaches that when we fell into sin in Genesis, there were some repercussions for Adam and for Eve, and as a result, for men and women. There were curses that came as a result of us falling into sin. And there's a curse that was mentioned in Genesis 3 to the woman. It said, to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And when it says your desire should be for your husband, it indicates that there's something inherent in a woman that wants her to usurp her husband. There's a frustration there, bearing the frustration of a perpetual struggle between herself and her husband in the marriage relationship. It's difficult for you ladies, but it's the greatest gift you can give to your husband. And it pleases the Lord. That is what God has called you. Why should a wife be submissive? Well, very simple. God has commanded that. A wife should be in a submissive role because she's being obedient to the Lord. God has placed that order, and we obey Him. In fact, look at verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. That is not saying that you submit to your husbands in the same way that you submit to the Lord. What that is saying is offering service as unto the Lord in rendering submission to your husband. The idea is that you please the Lord. You submit to your husband as unto the Lord, as service rendered to the Lord. God has established that. You serve Him. You follow that role. How should a wife be in submission? Well, verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That's a pretty high standard. Wives, you are to be in submission to your husbands just as the church is in submission to Christ. How is the church so supposed to be in submission to Christ? Well, first thing I want to say is Jesus Christ never asked for His church members to become robots. Never asked for them to be without personality. Christ wants members of His church to love Him and to serve Him and to obey Him out of a deep, deep committed love to Him. There's always the inward motivation. And so too, I would say that wives, when you submit to your husbands, don't consider that like you're a robot or you're the servant slave. In fact, I believe wives are free to disagree with their husbands and even free to voice their disagreements. But out of a deep, deep love for their husbands, they give that gift of submission to Him. And they come into compliance with a good attitude. I think, wives, this has a lot to do with attitude. I really do. There is something so powerful about that quiet beauty that you possess. There is something so strong. There's something strong in the quiet beauty of a woman. In fact, the Bible teaches that that is what pleases the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3, God commands the women, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. Wives, that very quiet and gentle spirit is precious in the sight of the Lord. And that speaks of how you should be in submission, I believe. There's a quiet strength and beauty in how you comply or keep yourself in submission. The other side is horrible. Loud, boisterous, nagging, cussing, swearing women. Proverbs said, a continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Imagine that. Drip, 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 drip all day long. The kind of drip that gets you out of bed and to close that faucet, man. Wives, if you're like that, it's not doing anybody any good. There's a quiet, gentle spirit. Wives, consider that ladies, those of you who are dating or wanting to be married, those are God's expectations for the woman, for the wife, to take a submissive role. All right, let's move to the guys now. And guys, let me tell you right off the bat. Notice how there's three verses that deal with the women. The rest of the passage deals with the guys, the husbands. And listen, there are more responsibilities for the husband. And I'm going to make a statement here, guys, and I want you to listen up and take this to heart. Because some of you like the idea of being the head of the home. And you might even wave that submission thing in your wife's face. Listen to this statement. Headship carries greater responsibilities, not greater privileges. Headship carries greater responsibilities, not greater privileges. I personally put most of the responsibility for the health of a marriage and a home squarely on the shoulders of the husband. Why? Because the Bible has called you to be the head of your home, the head of the wife. You have great responsibilities. And on this Mother's Day, let's remember this afresh. This would be the greatest gift we could give to our wives. To be that kind of a husband that's living up to his God-given responsibilities. To be a husband that blesses our wives, not makes our wives miserable. It was testimony night at one church, and a lady got up and said, "We are living in a wicked land where sin is on every hand. I have had a terrible fight with the old devil all week." Whereupon her husband, who was sitting glumly by her side, said, "It's not all my fault either. She's hard to get along with." Guys, we're not to be like the old devil. We need to be blessing our wives. And the Bible is very clear here what the role of the husband is. The husband is to be the head of the home. The husband is to love his wife. And the rest of this verse talks about the different aspects of what the husband's love for his wife should look like. First of all, the husband's love for his wife should be sacrificial. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Let that sink in. Your love for your wife should look just like Christ's love for the church. It should be sacrificial. It says here, just as Christ gave himself for the church. How did Jesus Christ give himself for the church? Well, just consider it. First of all, he left his rightful place in glory, came down, took on the flesh of a baby. Talk about culture shock. Grew up as a human in a place where there's sickness, tears, pain, tiredness. Walked 33 years. And then literally gave his life, his blood, for the church. Purchasing the church on the cross at Calvary. That's sacrificial love, folks. And just as Jesus loves the church, husbands, that's how we are to love our wives. Hey, that lifts our love to the highest plane possible. You with me? We are committed. We are called by the Lord to love our wives sacrificially. A husband should not be domineering, but should sacrificially love his wife. A husband should be prepared to make whatever sacrifices are necessary for his wife. That's what it's saying. Whatever sacrifices are necessary for your wife, husband, Think of them. There's many. Being very sensitive to your wife. Considerate of your wife. Spending time with your wife. Helping your wife. Doing things for your wife even when you don't feel like it. Husbands, the honey-do list should be short. Things should be getting checked off that list regularly. It's important for the wife to see things get done around the house, around the yard. It's important. And we need to self-sacrifice and do that, show that in love. Martin Luther, his wife was named Katie. He felt so strongly about that he said, "In domestic affairs, I defer to Katie. Otherwise, I'm led by the Holy Ghost." It's important. Self-sacrificial love. Husbands, it's the highest level of love. That's what you're called to. Highest. A love for our wives is also a purifying love. Verse 26. "That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Again, we're comparing this with Christ's relationship with the church. And Christ had a purifying love for the church. He sought to make the church pure and keep the church pure. He purchased his people at the cross. He cleaned them up. And he wants them to be pure. In fact, it says that he's working on the church, removing spots, taking away wrinkles, getting rid of blemishes, and just pouring glory on the church so that it's like this beautiful bride that will be presented to him. You see the picture there? Imagine that bride walking down the aisle. How beautiful. I've never seen an ugly bride, ever. They're beautiful. They come walking down that aisle. Spotless, pure, no wrinkle. That gown is just white and pure. Jesus is presenting his bride to himself. He's cleaning and purifying his bride, the church, to himself. I believe we find application, guys, in that our loves for our wives should also be purifying love. As husbands, we ought to seek and protect the purity of our wives. I really believe that we should have that considered. We should consider that. We should not be dragging through our wives through anything that might defile them. We should not drag our wives through corrupt business deals. It's defiling them. We should be very careful what entertainment, date nights, where we go to the movies. We should be very careful, guys, about magazines or whatnot. You know, I've heard it said that statistics are pretty high that, and even some of the sex therapists recommend that guys get pornographic magazines and kind of show their wives sort of spice up their sex life. That's defilement. That's not looking for the purity of the wife. So it's being careful. It's also, as it says there in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. I think it's the husband's responsibility to see to it that his wife is being exposed to the word regularly. It has a cleansing effect to it, the word of God. It washes, it cleans, it purifies. And in that sense, husband, you're fulfilling your spiritual leadership role in the family as the priest of the family. Exposing your wife, making sure that she's in the Word of God regularly. It's important. Paul goes on to say that our love for our wives should be one in which we absolutely care for their needs. Verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. I love that. Husbands, we're to love our wives just as we do our own bodies. Now, that's something every guy can understand. Just as we love our own bodies. Everybody loves them, their own bodies. And don't argue about that one. In fact, the Bible says there, no one ever hated his own flesh. True. If you really hated yourself, you'd be delighted that you had ugly legs. In fact, you'd wish you had the ugliest legs on the face of the planet. I hate myself. We all love ourselves. Guys love themselves. We do. We love ourselves. We take care of our bodies. We're concerned about our bodies. Sick, medical attention. Hungry, food. Thirsty, drink. Exhausted, sleep. Cold, clothing. Dirty, shower. We take care of our bodies. We're to love our wives just as we love our own bodies. And that means taking care of them, looking out for their needs as well, making sure that they're provided for food, shelter, clothing. Taking care of them. Taking them to the doctors. You know, there are some husbands that get annoyed with their wives because they get sick. There are. Can't you get better? That cough is driving me nuts. Husbands, we're just as our own body, we're to be concerned for our wives. When they're sick, we're sick. When they're in some need, we're in need. Very, very important. You know, there's another thing that I thought about this week as I considered this. Guys, you and I, we have hobbies. And we like to, at least I know I love to learn lots of new things. I like to read a lot. I need intellectual food. I think that's a need. I think that's a need that guys, husbands should be looking out for their wives as well. You ever thought about challenging your wife to learn something new? In fact, it says there in verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Nourish means to provide food, to take in food so that you grow into maturity. We should nourish our wives as well. Give them, expose them to, you know, provide physical food for nourishment, spiritual food for spiritual growth, intellectual food for intellectual growth, nourishing them. There's another word there in verse 29 that I'd like to point out. But nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. That word cherish is so beautiful. It's very intimate. Literally, it means to warm with body heat. to warm with body heat. Husbands, we should be so intimately taking care of our wives' needs, concerned. Those intimate needs. That same word is used in another place in Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, where it is used almost as creating a nest. Nesting. The husbands should be providing shelter, comfort, security, protection. Warming them with their body heat. Strong admonition to us, guys. Our love is to be sacrificial. It's to be a purifying love. It's to be a love that cares for her needs. Verse 30, we find out that our love is also supposed to be a permanent commitment. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bone. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That's a quotation from Genesis chapter 2, verses 24, and that forms the foundational principles of what God intended when He invented the marriage institution. The founding principles of marriage are very simple. Leave and cleave. That's what happens in marriage. You leave and then you cleave. And you enter into a permanent relationship. It's God's highest. Leave, a word that literally means to abandon completely, leave behind, forsake. Verse 31, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to another. That implies, guys and gals, that there is a vital severing that must take place at marriage. Guys, we are called to leave our parents. Wives are to leave their parents and cleave now to their husbands. There's a severing that must take place. Now, this doesn't mean that the relationship with parents becomes terminated. But it does mean this. The child is no longer under the authority of the parent in any way. And the parents are no longer responsible at all for their children. It's that strong of a severing. There's leaving that must take place. Guys, leave your parents in that sense. In that sense. Your wife does not need a mama's boy. Your wife needs a husband. And parents, let your children leave when they get married. Let them. That's one of the greatest gifts you can give to them. And teach your children that that's what happens when they get married. That there will be a leaving. There's also a cleaving. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Leaving parents, but being joined together to become one flesh. That's a miracle that happens at marriage. A husband and wife become one flesh. They're joined together. In fact, that word for joined literally means to glue, to affix, to adhere. One flesh. I think the best way to describe it is, let's say I had two sheets of paper here, and I put glue on one, and I just took those two sheets of paper and just rubbed them together. Those two sheets of paper would look like one sheet, wouldn't they? They'd be so joined and affixed and glued. And that is why the Bible wants marriage to be a permanent relationship. That's God's highest. What happens? What would happen if I tried to separate those two sheets of paper again? You could probably do it. You'd be very careful. You could probably do it. But I guarantee you there would be some rips. There would be some damage that comes out. And divorce can be so devastating. Guys, husbands are permanently committed to their wives in love. That's God's calling. Husbands are to love their wives sacrificially, purifying, concerned for their needs, and permanent. It's high calling for us, guys. Now, why should husbands and wives live up to these expectations? Verse 32 says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." We should be obeying these expectations from God because of what marriage represents. Did you know? Marriage represents the relationship of Jesus Christ to His church. Wow. Christ is called the head of His church. And as that, He loves the church sacrificially. He seeks to purify the church. He's concerned for the church need. He is permanently committed to the church. The church is to be in submission to Christ. Lovingly and willingly, joyfully, out of deep, deep love, complying and giving herself and serving the Lord. That is what a marriage should look like. Both roles working together. Guys, if the church looked like the way you love your wife, what would the church look like? Wives, if the church looked like the way you submit to your husband, what would the church look like? It's important. That relationship between Jesus Christ and His church is sacred. Marriage is sacred. Sacred. Important. That's why we live up to those roles. I would like to mention something else, though. You will also enjoy wonderful benefits if you obey God in this. There will be benefits that your marriage will be enriching. For both parties, a beautiful, enjoyable, satisfying marriage. If you just obey God and live up to His expectations. Do what He says. Obey Him. Whether you feel like it or not, whether your spouse is doing it or not, we're called. I believe with all my heart that a woman deep down in her heart wants to feel loved so desperately as Christ loves the church. Husbands, when you love your wife like that, you are meeting a need in your wife that's so beautiful. You know what? I also believe that guys like to be respected. Many guys like to be in control, or at least feel like they're in control. And it really is. It's a need for guys. It's a need for husbands. It's a fulfilling thing when the wife submits. It's like, yeah, she trusts me. She's going to allow me to provide for her. There's a need being met. Two beautiful needs being met. There's beauty. There's harmony. When both are doing their roles. Listen, if a husband is loving his wife like he's supposed to, the wife will have no problem placing herself in a submissive role. She'll willingly do it. If a wife is in submission to her husband, it just prods the husband more and more to love her as Christ. It just works and it fits tighter and tighter and tighter. They work together. We live up to God's expectations because it represents His relationship with the church, but it also it's for our benefit. Marriages can be wonderful. If I could define headship in a nutshell, I would put it this way. Biblical headship for a husband is giving the best of all that he is to those under his care and authority. I would define submission in a complementary manner. Biblical submission for a wife is giving the best of all that she is to the one that is in authority over her. Several hundred years ago, Martin Luther described it this way. Let the wife make the husband glad to come home. And let him make her sorry to see him leave. I think that's beautiful. There should be a harmony there. Husbands, wives, those of you who are desiring to be married, do your expectations for marriage fall in line with God's? We need to be reminded, single people need to think on these things as you consider entering into marriage. Troubled marriages, reevaluate where you are. Obey God. You have a role. There is an expectation of you. And in the power of His Spirit, God promises you can do it. Those of you who are here and you're divorced, consider what went wrong. And then I want you to know that divorce, though God does not want it, it's not His highest. It is a forgivable sin. And whether you're the guilty or the innocent party in that divorce, let this morning be a strong reminder to you of what your role is and what it should be, and learn from it. I also want to say to you, God can heal you. God can heal that hurt that comes from your divorce. God can restore you. Allow Him to. You know, the Bible says that the Lord will be a husband to the widow. The Lord will be a father to the fatherless. We've talked about marriage and the expectations for marriage, and I know this is a very difficult situation or a very difficult topic for many of you because of the different situations. Some of you live with unbelieving spouses. Some of you are going through divorces. Some of you have been through real ugly things. Some of you are in a marriage right now that you abhor. The Bible, I'm glad it does this, puts things in black and white, however. It's not subjective. It's not ooey-gooey, do I feel like it? It's these are the expectations, live up to them. You can in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do that. Marriages can be beautiful, but marriages do take work. A successful marriage is an edifice that must be rebuilt every day.
And Lord, we want to build our marriages into